Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Press. It is the start of the Players Championship Week. I am Ryan Ballingy. It's good to have you with us for our Monday show, where we'll go over the top of the table. We'll talk about the tournament lines for the outright market for the Players Championship. We will touch very briefly, for all of you DP World Tour lovers out there, on the magical Kenya Open. We'll touch on that at the very end of the show. But the story this week is obviously the Players Championship. Very similar field to last week in terms of top 50 players, 43 this week versus 44. And that's just kind of the nature of the bottom of the rankings right now, where you can actually gain some ground by not playing if you're a live guy. So it's just kind of strange how it all works out. But basically 43 or 44 of the world top 50 are in the field this week at the Players Championship, which has historically become one of the best fields, if not the best field of the year. And that's because if you look at the major championships, they all have different reasons why they're probably not the best field. The Masters is an invitational. They have a dozen players that probably would not otherwise compete in a major. And there are different criteria to get in, obviously winning, top 50 in the world. So you get a great field, but you don't have the best field. Then you've got the U.S. Open. Obviously a great field too, same with the Open Championship, but they have qualification. So you have different players, although the Open is way fewer than the U.S. Open. You have a good chunk of the field that comes from qualifying tournaments, and that can net some interesting results, and they're inspiring and fun, but that doesn't make them the best players in the world. Just makes it a really cool story. And then you've got the PGA Championship, which is probably the deepest tournament of the year, or at least in a very close fight with the players about it, because they go out of their way at the PGA of America to try to invite the top 100 players in the world. Now, the question is going to be, in 2023, will they do that to include live guys, or are they going to skirt around that, or how's that going to work? Will it affect the field? We shall see. There's still probably some inner working to be done there on the PGA of America side, but for the PGA Tour, they have adjusted their criteria in recent years to invite any top 50 player that is eligible to compete in a PGA Tour event. So that means live guys are not in, naturally. And they have kind of beefed up the criteria a little bit just to get a little bit of a deeper field with current form. They've reduced the field from 156 when it was in May to 144 because of daylight issues. And we will probably have those this week at Sawgrass. And it's one of the best fields of the year. And it also is played on probably the most volatile golf course on the PGA Tour. If you look, as we do every single week on this show, or in your own research, about horses for courses and players you should like this week because they historically do well on the host course, and you look down the list this week, there isn't much to work with. And that's because this golf course is extremely difficult to master. It demands every single shot in your bag. I've been to probably 4 or 5 different players' championships over the years. Some in March, some in May. The golf course is always tricky because there aren't two comfortable shots in a row. It never feels that way, at least to me. Just watching players go through the motions and trying to figure out how to hit shots that they don't really want to hit. And Pete Dye makes you hit them, because of the way the course is designed. And if you bail out enough times, you will eventually get got. And if you don't execute the shots, you just won't make good scores. And so it's a total examination of your game. And there really doesn't seem to be any player, and we'll talk about some relative horses for courses in this show, but there aren't guys that are jumping off the page that have been in the top 15 the last 5 years. You'd be hard-pressed to find a guy that has 3 top 15s in the last 5 years. 2 is excellent relative to the rest of the players competing this week. So you have to keep that in mind, knowing that when you're looking for value this week, you don't really have all of the boxes you can usually check that will tell you, hey, this player is someone to like. Like last week, Tyrrell Hatton, past winner of the tournament, has played the course well. He's been playing pretty well. Of course you liked him. Did he get the job done? No, but it made a lot of sense why you might wager on the guy. And you base that on current form, course history, and then modeling. And it all kind of worked out. But the guy that wound up winning, Kurt Kitayama, also modeled out extremely well if you look at how he handles difficult golf courses, how he stacks up very well against very good fields, and he did the job. I mean, kudos to him for not losing his cool and really figuring out that on a difficult golf course like Bay Hill, pars are your friend, and that you got to find the right time to make a birdie. He did on 17, which was tremendous. And then he held his nerve on 18. Beautiful two-putt down to, what, a centimeter. Put that thing in and won $3.6 million. Now he's exempt for 3 years. He has gone from through every tour. I mean, pretty much every major tour to get to this moment and has finally accomplished it. So kudos to him for doing that. He did rank 17th in our model for the week, by the way. I mean, a super long shot play to win, but he did it. It was pretty amazing. So kudos to Kitayama for getting that done and winning. Now, this week, the model will almost be the entire guiding light for this tournament. So that'll be tomorrow's show. We haven't run it yet. And the reason that's going to be is because we don't have a whole lot of great horse for course stuff. We could do fits. Seems like guys who fit don't ever play well in this tournament. I'm just saying that up front. We'll talk about fit, and we'll talk about all of that tomorrow. But the fit historically does not seem to be any kind of prognosticator of success on this golf course. So what we're looking for are guys who could win, that have some value, and probably make a lot of small wagers this week if you're trying to identify a winner. And I think you can make some good money this week on missed cut bets because there are a lot of good ones out there of players who don't play this golf course very well. Patrick Cantlay, Tony Finau, Xander Schauffele come right to mind. Spieth comes to mind. It is hard to do well on this golf course year to year. So that all said, let's look at the top of the table in the outright market at DraftKings. Again, shop around for what you're looking for. You may be able to find better specials other places. There are no specials out here this week on DraftKings. They've been kind of pumping up the lesser events the last few weeks with plus 250 and plus 300 on top of your wager. Well, we don't have that this week. So we have top of the table, two guys. You guessed them. Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, 8.5 to 1 each. I've seen other books, McIlroy in the 10 to 1 range. I've seen him in the 9 to 1 range. Scottie Scheffler's 10 to 1. That seems almost universal. I've also seen 9 to 1, I think, if I remember right. But, I mean, obviously, those are your big three. And those are the three you would expect to win, which is precisely why they probably won't. But they are the three best players in golf right now. And I don't think there's really a small gap between those three and everybody else. It's a pretty big gap right now. It doesn't mean they can't win, but you understand why the market is that way. But I also don't see any value in betting anybody in that range because this golf course is so volatile. I would rather try to make it an in-play thing where maybe they have a quiet first round. You think, okay, they didn't shoot themselves out of it, or you get a sense of what the course is playing like. If you're going to play these guys, play them in play. Just don't do it pre-tournament. Patrick Cantlay, 18 to 1. He's going to get a lot of love this week. He has played well the last few weeks, and for good reason. This would totally be a Patrick Cantlay tournament to win. I had the most awkward interview I've ever had with any human being with Patrick Cantlay at this tournament. It was like 6 years ago. And I have the audio still someday for posterity's sake, but it was extremely awkward. And that's probably one of the reasons why I'm biased against him, but he is playing very good golf. And from a betting perspective, 18 to 1 is not bad for a guy who's been playing in the top four the last couple of times out and has the ball striking to win this tournament. Justin Thomas at 20 to 1, Max Homa 20 to 1. I like both those. JT seems to be kind of rounding into form. He's won this tournament before. It is impossible to win this tournament back-to-back years. It's impossible this year because Cam Smith's not playing in it, but it's never been done at Sawgrass to go back-to-back. And so Homa is also another great pick. Played T14 at Bay Hill, which is a good finish on the golf course. I don't think really suits him particularly well, but I do think this one can. Xander Schauffele, Tony Finau, 25-1, along with Morikawa and Hovland. I would throw out all of those as a no, except Colin Morikawa. And the only reason I think that is because Morikawa is waffling back and forth between nearly winning or being awful. And he was awful at API. So he, if the pattern holds, should be very good this week. Great ball striker, obviously. Not the best putter. Well, these are very difficult to putt greens because they are tricky. They're tricky for everybody. The best ball strikers tend to do well on this golf course because they give themselves the best opportunity to have as many looks at birdie and eagle as possible. That should be what Morikawa does. Now, is he going to do that? I don't know, but of all the people in the 25 range, he is the one I would probably be most likely to consider. Jason Day at 28-1, I would love him if he was 40-1, but if he were in that range, I would take him. But he is not. He is 28. And for good reason. He likes this golf course. He's won on it, albeit in a May version of this event. He is playing great golf. All of those things line up very nicely. But 28-1 seems awfully short for Jason Day. Jordan Spieth at 30-1, not taking him. I don't care if he played well at API. Because he plays this golf course pretty bad. Other than the run he had against Marty Keimer almost 10 years ago, where he almost got the job done, but did not. He really doesn't have much to show for on this golf course, and I will leave him alone. Tyrrell Hatton, I really like this week at 35-1. Couple of top sixes in recent memory, strikes the ball well. The only thing you have to think about Tyrrell Hatton is his outbursts. This is a very frustrating golf course to play. You can hit a lot of good shots and a lot of good putts, and a lot of things don't happen, and you have to kind of keep your wits about you. If you think Tyrrell Hatton's going to do that, I've got a bridge to sell you in a desert. But if he can keep it together, then yes, he should do extremely well on this golf course. Matt Fitzpatrick, 35-1. Actually, just went to 40. I'm doing this live. Just went to 40. I could be very interested in him at 40. Tom Kim's 35-1, along with Will Zalatoris and Cameron Young. I don't think I would take Cameron Young here. I don't think he's refined enough quite as a golfer. I mean, he's a huge power player. Power does not really work on this golf course. Position works on this golf course. Tom Kim is a position guy. Plays position courses well. He's won on position courses. Sedgefield is a position course. Obviously, the TPC in Summerlin is also a position golf course. A couple of wins on those types of tracks. And we haven't really heard a lot from him recently. And I understand, you know, you're trying to pick the hot player here, but if you look at his recent results, they're not awful. T34, T45, T50. I mean, he's just there, but he did have a T6 at the American Express, although that was a month and a half ago now. So he's just kind of been out there playing golf, making money, but not doing anything spectacular. I think he can do something spectacular here. The guy I'm really going to zero in on, and we'll skip over Sanjay at 40-1, which I would absolutely bless if you're interested. I'm going to skip it, but Keegan Bradley at 45-1. I've seen him at 55 in other books. That's a guy I can get behind. If you look at his recent record, it's good. Like, really good. And if you look at his record here, he's one of the guys with multiple top 10s, actually, in the last 5 years in this tournament. T10 at API. Missed the cut at Genesis, that's okay. T20 at Phoenix, second place at Farmers. So he has been able to play some really good golf. Obviously, has already won this season. He's probably in the best physical condition of his entire career. I could see this as a very Keegan Bradley kind of win. I tend to think about guys who win the Players, although we've had a great run of champions recently. I tend to think of guys who win the Players as a guy who is going to win like a major and a Players, and that's their career. And the Players could be the pinnacle, even better than the major, almost. If that's a strange way of thinking about it, maybe, but that's how I think about it. Who's a guy, if you thought right now, or even in 5 years, you could go, yeah, they could have a major and a Players, and that'd be pretty good. Well, Keegan Bradley's got a major. That was 12 years ago. He's got plenty of PGA Tour wins, what, 6, 7? I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. And here he is right here in a good spot playing good golf. I like that number on him. Keith Mitchell 55-1. I like Ricky Fowler 50-1. I like. I would like to see Ricky closer to like 70, but we're not going to get that here. Chris Kirk at 80 very much intrigues me. He's played okay on this golf course before. If you'll remember the was it Josh Elliott who went from ESPN to NBC, was a horrible anchor. They had him anchor golf tournaments for a while. He did the Players, and it was just so bad. And if you ever watch if you follow No Laying Up or Tron Carter from No Laying Up, just he'll play that video a couple times this week. You'll have a good laugh about it. Adam Scott, 100-1, really interests me. He's playing okay. Plays this golf course particularly well. I could get behind that. Justin Rose at 110 absolutely is interesting to me. And then you start to kind of get into some guesswork here. Taylor Montgomery is cooled. He is 130-1. Probably just tired from playing a lot of golf. Brian Harman at 150-1. I don't know that I would take him to win, but he does have a good record on this golf course and he likes it. I mean, I've spent several rounds with him at Sawgrass watching him play. And he really enjoys the challenge because he, as a shorter hitter, does not get knocked around by being a shorter hitter. Playing pretty decent golf. Guy I could get behind here this week at 150-1. And then you start to get pretty deep pretty quickly. Denny McCarthy at 200-1, vaguely interesting to me. And then, yeah, at that point you start to kind of get into like, I don't think that's going to happen territory. Thomas Dietrich at 250-1 does interest me. That's a little too deep, I think, for Tom Dietrich. And Ben Ahn at 300-1 also interests me because I could see some parallels from the ball striking that's needed to win at Wentworth, which he has won at, and the ball striking that's required to win here. I could get behind that. I could appreciate that. So, and then all of a sudden, you're in like the 500s, and you're really taking a deep shot. And really, this tournament, I mean, the biggest shock winner in recent memory, and this is a relative shock, is Webb Simpson. And he was 100-1 pre-tournament. So really, you're looking in the 40 and less range. Keegan Bradley is like right on the edge of that you could probably get behind. But then again, you're going to go, well, Kirk Kitayama won and he was really deep last week. So, okay, I get it. But I think you got to stick in that 50 or shorter range as someone to try to find this week. And maybe you just hit seven guys instead of four like normal. Spread your bets out a little bit or try to make them in-play wagers and see if you can kind of get someone who's giving you encouraging signs but is not necessarily someone you want to bet pre-tournament. I would highly encourage you to do that this week. Tournament props, golfer props. We always try to do that. Winning margin, one stroke exactly in a playoff. Hopefully you hit that last week. Once again, keep doing it. If you look at the history of this tournament, sorry, lost my voice a little bit. If you look at the history of this event, the Players, and we're going to try to have to just look at the last few years since it went back from May to March. So let's just look at those years, and then we can look at a little bit before that, although it's a different era of golf, but not that different. So if you look in the last 3 years this tournament was played, the winning margin is one. Before it went to May, or before it went back to March from May, you had a bunch of blowouts, actually. And you had some close ones. But you had three blowouts in a row, a couple close ones, a couple two-strokers. But then once you go back into the mid-2000s, before this goes to May, well, Stephen Ames wins by six out of nowhere, but then you have a couple one-stroke ones. Then you have a six and a two. Craig Perks won this tournament. A couple one-stroke ones, but in the last few years, this has been a pretty tight tournament. They've made the golf course play tougher with deep rough. I think one is a fairly good play here, and just go with that. But I do like a one or a two. For whatever reason, this tournament just does not produce lots and lots of playoffs. I mean, the last one was 2015, and then we had a couple with a good stretch in May in 2008 and 2011. And then before that, 1987. So other than those kind of May years, this tournament does not tend to produce playoffs. And that's between two eras of golf, taking all the March tournaments in hand there. I want to just speak briefly to the Magical Kenya Open, which is the DP World Tour event. The board is, as you might imagine, a little bit spicier this week because some of the top 50 players that otherwise might have played a DP World Tour event are eligible for and are playing in the players if they can. So you got Bob McIntyre 14-1, Antoine Rosner 16-1, Otegi 25, Becker 30, along with Arnaas, Shubhankar Sharma 35 with Langosk, and Ashin Wu and Johannes Veerman and Marcel Siem. I mean, they've got a Julian Brun, Rafa Guerrero, Bayo, I mean, goodness, Jorge Campillo. There's a ton of guys at 35-1. Nicholas Norgaard. I mean, there are a bunch of guys you can hit in that range that I don't think you'd feel that far off in taking. Marcus Kinnelt at 45-1 could be interesting too. And then at that point, Justin Harding's probably going to get some play at 50-1. And that'll maybe you and Ferguson, but I don't know if I feel particularly strongly. I would probably stay in the Arnaas region, maybe Becker. And I could throw Sharma at it, but I feel like you're getting a better player in Arnaas and Becker for the 30-1 than the jump to 35-1. So that's probably where I'll go there, but we'll study a little bit more. And do want to recommend a show that we air on GNN Radio, Lost for Words. Those guys do a great job talking about the DP World Tour events every week, and they will give you an incredible breakdown on everything they do. That airs on GNN Radio, which is available through iHeart and TuneIn and on our website, golfnewsnet.com. All right, that's going to do it for us today on the show. Tomorrow we will do our model, current form, and course fit as best we can, noting with the asterisks we've talked about earlier, and we'll go over who we like to win this week. And I don't think it's going to be particularly surprising who rates out very well given the model, but we'll put it all together. Maybe we'll find a surprise like we did last week with Kitayama at 17th, and we'll see what we get. Happy Players Championship Week, everybody. It's good to be on with you. We will talk to you tomorrow on The Press. Have a good one, everybody.